everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Shoe Podcast, the only sneaker podcast that is still talking about the sneakers from 2023 in 2024, but the holidays were kind of a crazy time, so y'all just bear with us. I am your co-host, Ryan Landry.
I am your co-host, Tanner Young.
Here we are closing out season five whole years of doing this little show on the internet here, but our first full year of doing video episodes. So, you know, a quick little, little moment for that. That was a big, big moment for us there. But this, like I said, this episode should have come out a week, maybe 2 weeks ago. I don't know, but the holidays, I'm not really like feeling sorry for it. You know, like
here's the thing.
Tell me the thing.
We were smart, okay, because all the big names, okay, we let them get it out the way.
That's right.
Okay, but then sometimes, you know, what happens is, okay, speaking of the holidays, okay, you eat your main dinner, okay, then you go sit down in the living room, you know, an hour or two, maybe three pass, and you're like, we still got leftovers out? And you look into the kitchen, they still got the trays out.
It's always the bread roll. Yeah.
Let me mosey back in there. Maybe make a plate just a sides. That's what this is.
Yeah.
This is your favorite sides portion of the holiday meal.
I like it. But it also is like the main portion because it's our big episode of the year because it's sneaker of the year, you know? Not to downplay the significance. It was a great analogy, but I don't want us to downplay the significance of what we're about to do here. We're about to sit down for
unveil.
I would call it probably at least an hour. Who knows? Maybe not longer. Our top three sneakers of 2023. Ooh. But we're also going to talk about, you know, what did our fans like? How did, you know, halfway through the year in what was it, July of 2023, we predicted where we might end up for the year. How did those predictions age? So we got a couple of little fun topics lined up for the evening here.
Let's get it.
I am curious for you before we jump in here, and this is something we didn't discuss, so it's a bit off the cuff here. If you had to think about maybe one or two, what I'll call major trends that happened in sneakers this year that you think we'll look back and be like, 2023 was the year of this trend or that trend. Are there any that come to mind that you felt like were like especially prevalent this year? And if you need a moment, I can give you one or two that I've got.
Yeah, if you got some lined up, you go ahead. Let me see if I can think.
I think one of the big ones we'll remember this year for is that 2023 was the year that the Y2K tech runner shoe kind of came back into popularity here. Huge year for shoes like, you know, the ASICS Gel Kayano and the New Balance 1906 and even the Vomero 5 kind of getting in on it a little bit there. Just tech runners, mesh, bright silver metallic panels really kind of, I think, dominated a lot of the social media feeds, especially around the summertime.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Agreed. That was kind of the first thing that came to my mind.
Yeah.
Was very much either, like, I guess you could say that Y2K runner or I'm not sure. I know back in the day, trainers were really, really big, especially in like those European markets. So almost like, is it trying to either A, refresh that market? I don't know how the European
Eurocore
is going, or is it like we had an insane amount of success in that market, can we replicate it?
Shout out our
United States market.
Shout out all our European listeners. Y'all go ahead, let us know real quick what's going on across the pond. Oops, blundered it right out of the gate. I don't know if it's called the pond or the plond. Yeah, sorry guys, that's an American education hard at work for you right there.
Hallelujah.
Does not help that the state that we come from is at the bottom of the pack when it comes to education as well.
Yep. Couldn't even probably name all the states here. So nope,
could not. And you want the capitals while we're at it? No shot. Mm-mm. Presidents? Mm-mm. Not going to happen. All of the lyrics to the bunny hop? Probably.
I could probably
do that. That's a staple.
You give me the... Da, da, da,
da, shh, don't get me started. Don't get us started. We won't do an episode.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh man, I would say I think less of styles and I guess more of just like moments.
Yeah,
like I think there's those big moments that happened, which I didn't really want to get into because I think we're gonna we'll get into that within the list. So I thought more of less fashion trends of the year and more of like these were big moments.
Yeah,
that I think we'll look back in of like, yep, that definitely was 2023.
Well, and maybe on that same note and without getting far too into it. I do think kind of the trend that wasn't a trend this year was that, I don't know if there were many sneakers of the year, but there were a lot of sneakers of the week. Like, I feel like we just had releases this year of just like jam packed every week. It was a banger. Whereas like, even, you know, you and I can think back to the first couple of years of doing this podcast where it's like every month you would have a banger. Like, you'd have one big one of the month, and if you missed it, maybe the next month would come around. But this year it just felt like, you know, maybe the highs weren't as high, but there were so many more highs that kind of came around, you know?
Yeah. Social media influencer, definitely on fire. Yeah. This year, when it comes to marketing, at least.
Yeah, I would agree. So that's kind of the top level, what we saw there. But before we start talking about our favorite sneakers, we want to talk about some of your favorite sneakers. If you didn't catch it, we put out a call on our Instagram, in our Discord community, and I think on our YouTube community as well, asking y'all what your favorite sneakers of 2023 were. And so we're going to talk about a couple of y'all's answers right here on the air. In the future, if you want to be featured on one of our episodes, there's always a chance. Make sure you're following us on all the social media platforms at Shoe Podcast. If you see us post the poll, go ahead and throw a little response in there. We might just choose your answer and give you a shout out on an upcoming episode.
Social media validation. Come on.
There you go. Be a little part of our community. It's a fun time. Yeah. We asked y'all, what was your favorite sneaker of 2023? And after my wife responded chicken butt, here are some of the other best answers that we got. From the Discord, at Other Ryan said his sneaker of the year was the Nike SB and the Uto Dunks, which I got to say, these definitely kind of grew on me the more and more I looked at them. Not so much that I kind of connected and resonated with the story or, you know, Uto the athlete as he is, but just, I mean, it's a good clean colorway, obviously. I think that's probably the big thing about these anyways, you know?
Yeah, I enjoy very simple color, gonna go with a lot of stuff. And honestly, the brown does, I think I was kind of like, I don't really know how that meshes, but I agree with you. The more I kind of kept seeing these just every now and again through like a, maybe like an Instagram explore page or whatever, maybe I was like, that it does give it enough to
a little kind of
separate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little pop, but still goes with like that subtlety that is the shoe. So I think a really good, really good one right here.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't see it on too many people's or like too many other sneaker media's top 10 list, but I think it was a good one.
Might be controversial. I think that on just a dunk, not an SB dunk, might have been a bigger hitter.
I don't know. I think SB gets so much more. It makes bigger waves when they do it. Yeah, I think it gets a lot more love.
That's true.
From Instagram, at Simple Fits and Kicks said that their sneaker of the year was the Saucony and J-Tips Grid Azura 2000, which this was, you know, his big debut collaboration he did with Saucony this year. And then followed it up with the What's the Occasion pack that we talked about on the last episode that we just did. He definitely came out swinging on this first one, you know, just like
you're
left
splash.
Yeah. Left nothing to, you know, the imagination there. It was like, we're just going to throw it all on the shoe. For me, it's a bit too much and just a bit too for my everyday, like for what I wear a lot of the time, this is just a bit too much all out there. But I know a lot of people love this, and I think, you know, credit where credit is due for J-Tips to blow up a silhouette and a brand like Saucony, which is not, you know, typically the front of the pack. Like,
think of
must have killed it for a lot of people on this one.
Yeah, I could see why this shoe would be a favorite, would be a big one. I agree with you. It doesn't fit me personally. I don't know why I'm thinking of it now. What would be super cool, and I'm just giving this idea out to any big designer brand.
After J-Tips just had a slam of a year, here we come on our podcast to let you know, if you really want to do something next year, go ahead.
Would be a cool tip. I think you do a shoe like
Mr.
this.
Mr. Tips, here's a cool tip for you. All right.
Cool tip for you. You do a shoe like this, okay? But then every sneaker that you do after this is just one element of this, but like the entirety of a shoe. So it's got a lot of different,
like, yeah,
you do a different silhouette and it's just more of that floral. You do another one that's like that zebra, another one that's blue, you know, things like that. I think that would be a cool.
You're trying to like
just a little.
You're trying, but you're basically just trying to reverse engineer a what the shoe.
The what the
right instead of making a what the after you make all the shoes, make the what the first and then make all the shoes. Pretty novel.
You make the what the and then people go, this is crazy. There's a lot of different things.
Right.
This is a lot of things going on, and then you hit them with like, oh, here you go. Here's what I was.
Meanwhile, Saucony. Yeah. Saucony. Tied to the 5-year contract because I got to make 7 shoes now.
Hey,
listen,
I'm trying to make you money.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? That's all it is.
He's playing 4D chess over here. We're playing checkers.
Exactly.
And then last shoe I think that we've got here, also from Instagram, at Enrique Perez, said that their sneaker of the year was the Nike SB Jordan 4. To quote TikTok, surprise, surprise. You know, I think it's at a lot of the, I think it's at the top of a lot of people's list. And it's not a bad shoe. It's a clean shoe. But you can, again, if you want to check out last week's episode or whenever it came out, the last episode that we did, you can probably hear a lot of our thoughts on this shoe.
Yeah. I mean,
we talked about clean, it for a minute.
I think it's cool. I know a lot of people, their biggest thing is they, you know, they talk about how it does have a different fit.
Yeah.
Than a Jordan, like 4, simple colorway, clean colorway. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think for the both of us, it being that number one, I think there were some other things that made our list a little bit different, but perfect. I mean, honestly, this outfit, I don't really know the outfit, but
this is
those jeans.
This is a shot from Politics. So shout out Sneaker Politics. Of course, we use y'all's stock photo. Please don't sue us.
The jeans here, great.
Yeah. Fair use. Making, I don't know.
Yeah. So we're not making money.
Lord knows we're not, which is, listener, that's why we need you to hit that subscribe button right now. Okay. Look at that subscriber count. We need every one of you.
Come on.
So, thank you for everyone who responded to the poll. Sorry, we can't, you know, shoot everyone's answer here on the air, but just want to give shout outs to a couple of our favorites here. Moving on. We wanted to talk about, again, as we said at the top of the episode, in July of this year, we sat down together and predicted what we thought at the end of the year, or just so far based on what had released, what were our top 3 candidates for sneaker of the year so far. Do you want to go first and talk about what your 3 choices were at that time and how do you think they've held up and aged without obviously giving away too much or too little here?
So I think clean shoes, great shoes. I mean, not, I guess, too kind of like out there. I mean, obviously having like some dunks, especially like the Dunk Low in their biggins.
Sorry to interrupt you here for the audio only listeners. Can you, which shame on y'all if you're not watching, but first if you're off. Driving, I understand. Don't look at your phone. But for those people, can you recap what your 3 choices were?
Easy. So, third place got the Dunk Low, the, black suede. Yep.
I messed up the graphic here. I got, you know, I took my beating for it halfway through the year, but I did not take the time to remake the graphic at the end of the year. So that's why you're like, why is it in the middle if it's third place? Yeah. Sorry.
Second place, another Dunk Low with the Rainbow Trout. Mm-hmm. And then my first place is the Bodega New Balance 610, the Trail Less Taken. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been hitting a lot, as many times as I can talk about that Bodega New Balance. Mm-hmm. So not a shock there. And then obviously having the 2 dunks, I'm more of a dunk fan than an SB dunk fan. So that also trends classic looking shoes, clean looking shoes. You know, the black suede, a little bit more quieter, going to go with a little bit more. We got the Rainbow Trout. That's going to be a little bit more loud for you with some cool little hits. And then Trail Less Taken, which a little bit more, probably something that I didn't really realize how much I really would enjoy it. It is a little bit more outside of what I typically would be drawn to in sneakers, but I mean, just seeing it honestly, you know, it really could be is seeing all the product shots. The product shots,
yeah, they styled it great.
They were so good. So it you know, it could be that.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I think a solid top 3. I was very happy with this mid year, and I still think that this is a solid grouping.
Yeah, for sure.
Of shoes, even at the end of 2023.
Okay. Respect. Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I think the Dunk Low Black Suede is probably the only one that I think on that list that a lot of people would be like, remind me what that one is. You know, because like, I think probably since it came and went, hasn't been talked about too. I mean, I think probably all three of your picks have been talked about maybe as much as we both think they should have.
Definitely.
But yeah, I mean, and this is probably, correct me if I'm wrong, probably one of the first years that you put a New Balance this high up on your list.
I would say so.
I think we admittedly tend to be pretty heavily Nike boys. So to see a New Balance, yeah, not only at that point on your list, but at the top of your list was a bit shocking. Top. Yeah.
I know. Not only a New Balance, but again, just kind of the style and the look of it, the model. But it was good.
Okay.
It was good.
Yeah. I'm not mad at it now. I wasn't mad at it then.
There you go. What about you? Looking back halfway, how does your mid 2023 list stack up?
What yeah. So just a quick recap for everyone. My third place was the Air Max 186 Big Bubble. My second place was the Nike Airship Every Game, which, you want to talk about shoes that had a grip on me. There was a 2-month window there. Yeah. And then this is probably the saddest news. This is me eating crow at this point. Mm-hmm. I think they call it. What I wanted first place to be was Stephen Harrington, the artist, was going to do a collaboration with Li Ning called this Palm Tree Copper Patina, like one of their basketball silhouettes where it's supposed to be like, you know, wear away on the uppers, and it had like a copper underneath it. And he teased it. He teased it in the first 6 months of the year, if we were talking about it, the halfway point.
Yeah.
And said coming soon. And here we are, well, what I would say 7 months later, not a peep, not a whisper, other than me going back to that post every so many weeks and saying Steven question mark, and he likes it. And I'm just like, Steven, what does that mean? Maybe we'll clip this and I'll post it and tag him in it. Steven, I'm still so badly waiting for this shoe, and I want to say if it had come out, it probably would be on my sneakers of the year list. So please tell us anything. Thank you. Feeling about it. I mean, I think the Air Max one holds up. I don't think it was on many people's top 10 list, because I think it didn't have, in general, the Air Max didn't have as big of a year as I think Nike was kind of hoping and wishing it would be. The Airship Every Game, I have admittedly cooled down from, and I think at the time I was admittedly like just a little overhyped on it. Not that it's a bad shoe, not that I was giving it more than it deserved, but I think just, you know, that was what I wanted, just like more than any other shoe for probably a 2-month period there. But then I think we talked about it on the last episode of the one before that, once the Amamanir 5 Dawns came out, and I was like, oh, white and light blue shoe, kind of liking this more anyway. So now I do not have a desire for it. And then I already gave my whole spiel on the Steve Harrington Li Nings, which I was also excited to put not only a non-Nike, but a Li Ning at the top of my list there.
I would agree. I think this list for the two of us, our number ones were way different than what we would typically would pick. I mean, obviously you see our 2 and 3 is Nike, so we are still severely we're still Nike boys.
Yeah.
So I would say how you felt about the everyday those airships. It was me with New Balance. New Balance.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where I'm just like, boy, it is. And I do think it has been. Yeah, it has been. I haven't had a maybe bigger hyper replacement for the New Balance. Like, I think, like how you said with the airships and then those Amamaniers coming in. So, good list. I still hold with, I would say both of our top threes.
Well,
you would look at it if you had it, you'd be like, okay.
Well, I got a fold. Yeah, I got a fold on the Li Nings because they did not come out. Yeah, but
that's true.
The other two, I still stand by.
People would still look at it.
People
would still look at it and be like, okay, that's cool looking.
Yeah,
I like the look of it. I like what they're doing.
I just want it. I those come out. Yeah,
I just want it to be a thing.
I still really hope those come out. Yeah. That being said, let's go ahead and talk about now getting into our sneakers of 2023, our top three. We're each going to give our top three and an honorable mention. But just so y'all can kind of understand before we give our picks here, why did we pick these? The disclaimer that I think we give or should be giving every year is that you and I will each give a list. Mm-hmm. And we obviously don't have to agree in a line because we're not coming up with one list together. And a lot of years in the past when we weren't a video podcast and we weren't making, you know, visuals and everything to go along with it, we would not know each other's list. This year we do know each other's list, but so for you, when you were putting your list together, what were I guess, as it says, your thought process and criteria. What were you really looking for and considering as a sneaker of the year?
So I tried to find a balance. Usually my criteria is that balance between what I think is hype and what the internet thinks is hype. So while it is my list, I do want to have some verification of being like, yes, I think this is great. Other people would also think this is great.
Okay.
I do typically try to, I may also look harsher on more of those bigger names that had the big, that had the hype, and try to look at what I think deserves some recognition.
Yeah.
Now, with the way that we do the episode, with obviously now we're doing our top three of the year, and then we have our other categories, it has gotten to where it's like, okay, I can give this recognition. I can give the shout out to this other shoe that may not. It kind of has come throughout the years where it does seem like both me and you will look at a extremely popular shoe and kind of look at it like, I don't really understand necessarily.
Yeah.
I think if you strip away its limited production, if you strip away the name that's attached to it, would this still get it? And sometimes I kind of look at that. So there may be times where I do look at a extremely hyped shoe, but I have to look at it in the sense of like, okay, if it didn't have this on the heel, if it didn't have this name, would it still be great? And sometimes I go, yeah, I think that's, that's still great. We've said that about a Travis Scott before. We've said that about Off-White before, where this is just a great shoe in general. So that's my main criteria when I'm, when I'm looking at it.
And, before we get to me, just to kind of like piggyback off that for a second, like I think, kind of, if I'm hearing you correctly, and the way I think about it is that like Travis Scott, and this, we're just pulling examples here at random. Travis Scott and Jordan, or Travis Scott and Nike, however you want to phrase it, for how many collaborations they've already done together, and sort of the inherent mass hysteria that's going to come of putting those two names together when they introduce another collaboration. It better really come with like some importance of like why we're doing this, rather than like it's the same thing but a different colorway, versus like Jay Tips and Saucony, both kind of like, I would say, you know, not the most dominant names in their industries, but when they come with something and it has the success that it does, like I think that gets more credit for me than like we took the Travis Scott Jordan 1 low, and instead of brown, we did green this time. You know, it's just like, regardless of how the general public or the sneaker culture, whatever, perceived and like whatever the resale value is on either, I think one of those obviously deserves more credit than the other for making the impact it did.
Yes. No, I think you definitely hit that. And I always end up going back. You'd said it a couple years ago, and I can always remember just a vague
collection
of,
I stole it, but yeah,
quote. Yes. It is a, you, and when you said it the first time, you did properly quote it. So, but it's out there, of, you know, in the lines of, if we're excited about a shoe that came out 30 years ago, and it's still like, what does that really say about sneakers? And it's like, yeah, don't get me wrong, the Chicago One will always be
always top good.
Three
right.
sneaker. But if we are at a point where in 2023, it's still the number one, I'm like, is no one else doing it? Like, can no one else beat what happened in 1984?
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So I usually will think about that as well, which sometimes does take out a retro.
Yeah. Yeah. I get
you know, and sometimes I have to take out my own, like whenever, like before I started my collection and I was, you know, on these forums, looking at shoes and things like that, and being like, oh my God, I want to at one point have this shoe. And then it eventually gets re-released just because that shoe came out this year and I was able to get it. It I have to take my sentimental value out of it.
Yeah.
And just be like, yeah, it was great back then. It's great now. But let me right. look at what's something new.
Right.
Or a different take or whatever it may be.
Yeah. If they dropped the Bred Jordan 1 in the OG shape and the OG leather and the OG colors every year, how many years in a row would we give it sneaker of the year? You know?
Yeah.
Because the shoe's the same. It's just how long until we get tired of it. Is it no longer sneaker of the year? That's my thing. So yeah, that's a good segue, I think, from my thought process and criteria. As you've alluded to, and as listeners might know, I have a self-imposed no retros, no reimagined retros rule mm-hmm. on my own list. And so we don't normally do spoilers, but here's your spoiler alert. There's no White Cement 3 reimagined on my list. Again, because I really try to look at things that were new or happened for the first time this year, or just like things that were really big, which I know the White Cement 3 reimagined was really big, but I'm just, yeah, it's to that point. I think it's, I think I attribute the quote to Brendan Dunn from Complex, who was talking about one year, you know, the Jordan 1, and yeah, how sad if the best shoe of the year is something that originally released 40 years ago and they just brought back. And it's like,
yeah,
they could do that every year, you know, and they kind of do that every year. So, I try to stay away from retros or reimagine retros. And then after that, I try to do a balance of what do I think this year will be remembered for and what did I personally enjoy? And that's kind of always the tug, right? Cause like, obviously each of us are giving our own personal sneakers of the year, right? We're not trying to say mm-hmm. definitively, here's what 2023 will and should be remembered for. It's just to us kind of what did we think the best was. But still, I want to bring a little bit of that. If we looked back in 5 years at our list that we did this year, would we go, oh, that's right, that was that big thing from that year, or go, oh man, I totally forgot about that, you know?
Yeah.
So
all things that we try to
consider,
pool together.
Yeah. That being said, I think you have the honors if you want to kick us off with your honorable mention. For longtime listeners of the show, we will each have one honorable mention here. The whole last episode is our sneaky way of doing six honorable mentions, but this show it's only one honorable mention.
Yeah. Honestly, I think whenever I ended up putting this shoe at honorable mention, I might have put it here as a spiteful thing for what I keep hearing on the internet whenever you hear those sound bitey things of people going around like a sneaker convention or Complex Con or whatever. And like,
yeah,
what's the worst sneaker to ever come out? And this sneaker gets out and I'm going, you're just wrong.
Okay.
You're just wrong. Right. And that is the Dunk Low Panda.
Yeah,
it is the Panda. So, like them, hate them, love them, whatever. Mm-hmm. You cannot deny the moment that these bad boys had. It literally went from people looking at it and being like, I am shutting everything down to get this.
Yeah.
Because that people are going to want this.
Yeah.
And they were not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They were not wrong. I mean, the resell on these bad boys when they first dropped was insane. The people trying to get these, to bop these, it was crazy. And you look at this shoe and you go, really?
Yeah.
But again, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. And then Nike said, oh, sick. How about a million more?
Yeah.
And I appreciate Nike for doing that, because there's so many times where we go, hey, Nike, why don't you just make more?
Right.
So they said, I'll go ahead and I'll make more. Bet. And then we'll reason.
Yep.
People then, once they became readily available, now all of a sudden it's a terrible sneaker.
Yeah, that's the tough thing with sneakerheads in general, is a lot of time when you miss out on something, you're like, I wish they just make more. And you're like, so you wish everyone would have them? And they're like, no, like, I wish they would make one more pair. Like, I just need a pair, but I don't. Yeah, I think so often people kind of get stuck in that trap of like, I want to be part of the exclusivity. I don't want necessarily a ton of inclusivity. I just want to be part of the exclusivity.
Yeah. I want, I think like you said, it's not necessarily, I wish they made more. It was just, I wish I was one of the people who got it.
Yeah.
And so I put this as an honorable mention. One of, it's a clean shoe. I mean, it's black and white. There's nothing crazy about it. They didn't go over
right
over the board. It's not overly hype. There's no crazy uniqueness that they did with this. There's no big name attached to it. Yeah. They did multiple variations of the panda, crazy going at it. I looked at it and said, to me, when you would think of 2023 and sneakers, I have a feeling that people would be like, the panda, like, craze.
Yeah.
I think would be one thing they'd be like, oh, do you remember when people were losing their mind over this and then also losing their mind over this?
Yeah.
For two starkly different reasons. But I think more than anything, it is a spiteful placing, which is why I think it fits very nicely in honorable mention.
It's very you.
Is to really just look at people and say, it's a good shoe. It's not the worst shoe. It's not the best shoe, but it's a good shoe.
He stands behind it. Yeah, I think my only counterpoint would be this just goes to show how quick things are moving in sneakers right now. I feel like, didn't the panda wave start last year? Not necessarily this year. I know this year was a big year for churning them out in quantity. So,
yeah,
but I don't know if it was your list, your criteria.
Yeah, I definitely remember the 2023 panda pandemonium.
Pandemonium.
There you go. So.
I'm gonna add the ba-dumpsh in post. I'll add that in post right there.
Appreciate you.
All right. It's honorable mention. You can't be too mad at it, I think.
There you go. Yeah. Like I said, it's more spiteful. And I am admitting
he's forthcoming at least. Yeah. We appreciate that.
There you go.
All right. So as for me then, my honorable mention, and this is something that I feel like you, where it's like I didn't put it in here for spite. But I'll be the first to tell you, I don't really like this, but it's just, you want to talk about things that had a moment in sneakers this year. And that's obviously top of the mind. Gotta be the Mischief Big Red boot. The boot's so big that I had to put it in front of the honorable mention ribbon there. It was so tall.
Yeah.
We talked about it. I keep saying we talked about it in our last episode, but we did. We talked about a lot of these. That's the way it goes. I know it's technically not a sneaker, but I think, like I was saying earlier, if we looked back in 5 years and tried to remember and recollect one moment, like what were the big trends? What were the big moments that happened in 2023? Big Red Boot is like the moment that happened in 2023 that like just dominated social media for the month of March. And it happened so early in the year, right? That I've been listening to a lot of people talk about their sneaker of the year. And whenever they bring up the Big Red Boot, everyone goes, that happened this year. And it did. It happened in March. But
yeah.
The way that like it was the shoe in March and, you know, not a sneaker, of course. And I think it had so much novelty, obviously, like it wasn't practical to really be wearing regularly that it didn't have staying power. Right. It was a flash in the pan. It was I got to get a pair to get a funny fit off for social media. And then like that'll be it. It's the one and done for sure.
Which is very much Mischief.
Yeah, for sure. That's their whole thing, is not necessarily making like inline everyday wearable sort of shoes. You know,
it does almost feel like Mischief is what was Supreme.
Okay.
Like, I feel like Supreme would do that. Supreme would almost have like that very like ironic.
Yeah.
I'm going to sell you quite literally
a pinball machine or a brick. Yeah.
A crowbar,
yeah.
A fire extinguisher, like all these very crazy things that for some reason, I mean, people would line up for and pay way, way more than what you should do for a book of matches. But just because, you know, so it's almost like Mischief now is Supreme back in like the early 2000s.
That's an interesting take.
What kind of wild thing can we do just to to make a stir on social media?
I think probably the only difference I would draw there is that I think Mischief's customer is in on the joke, and I don't think Supreme's customer always knows that they are the joke, you know?
Are the joke, yeah.
Right. Yeah. When you buy a pair of shoes that are called like gob stompers and they wear away to different layers and they're now collaborating with Dremel to do it, you're like, I see what they're doing, I get it. Sometimes you buy the Supreme mac and cheese, the Kraft mac and cheese, because you're like, this is gonna shoot up in price, and then it doesn't, and you're like, well, like, do I eat it? Like, you're right. You know, you're just like, I don't know if I actually am having fun anymore. Yes,
I have this now.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's why I really wanted to put it on honorable mention. I don't want to put it in my top three, but I think we'd be remiss if you went the whole year and you didn't give credit and acknowledgement to what really was the biggest moment of the year, at least at the beginning, the first biggest moment, you know?
Yeah.
That being said, enough of the mentionables. You want to go ahead and start awarding the podiums here?
My bronzy.
My bronzy.
My bronzy. Not a within the realm, but I guess a little bit outer of the realm. Mm-hmm. I ended up doing the Nike Lunar Rome, that alabaster.
First colorway.
And what a colorway did they come out with? I mean, oh my goodness. And yes, this is definitely more of like that athletic wear. So definitely going to be more of like a runner shoe, a workout shoe. But from what this colorway has, I do think that it can definitely have some staying power. This colorway has me excited. I would love to see it. I know it's not 2016, 2017, maybe even 2018, where we had more of those like athletic casual fits.
Athleisure wear.
But I do believe that we are coming into, I think next year we may have a rebirth. I know that especially in, for sure, within like the women fashion, I've seen a couple things of like a solid Nike, like crew neck sweater with a matching like set with like the sweatpants.
Okay.
But I've seen people do with like the very like neutral New Balance. I have a feeling possibly that the Lunar Rome could possibly take in on that.
Okay.
Maybe also could go into, you know, at the end of this year was going into looking into having some, adding some running shoes to try and get in shape, going in, you know, building a home gym. So these were on my radar a bit more than I think other people's.
Yeah.
I would definitely understand people see this shoe and be like, I didn't even know this
was a thing
came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it being number three is why I have it at number three is, okay. I was really into this. I really love the sole that they have on the shoe. It's got a lot of great performance reviews. And honestly, just that colorway, the different mesh with it, how the, you know, everything, all the lines move within the shoe is just really beautiful for me. And then I think this is also one of those is kind of more of that like quiet heat. So I kind of like that of adding, I like having a good balance now within my collection of, I want to throw some, I want to have a nice outfit together, but I don't necessarily want to wear, those shoes that aren't beaters yet and things like that. So I could wear this that has, I feel more comfortable wearing this in less, you know, favorable conditions. Cause it is more, I see it more as a, yeah, I see it as more of a, more of like a performance shoe rather than like a stylish sneaker.
Okay.
So that's what I had in my, as my bronzy.
Okay. Yeah. I think the only one thing that I don't like about, and it's really tied to this first colorway, I think a little bit different from you, is that midsole there, because I think for me, it looks a little too yellowed. It reminds me of when Travis Scott did the Air Max 270 React, where it had the foam midsole, but it looked like they tried to yellow it, but it just looked like streaky or smudgy. This kind of gives me that same shade of brownish yellow to where like, I just wish it was more of like a sail or an off-white color rather than being so yellow.
Gotcha.
I do think it is a good, solid and clean silhouette. I think it's a bad case of like right shoe, wrong time. Like, I think to your point, this was, if they'd been able to introduce this around the time that like the NMD, the Ultra Boost was just like completely dominating, it would have been a good, like, you know, effort against it.
The Vapor Max.
Yeah,
this would have really made it.
I just feel like in today's day and age, I think like it's a good shoe if you're just looking for a good shoe. I don't know that it is the next big thing that Nike might like to hope that it is.
Yeah, I don't think that's how they're releasing it, is to be that, like how they did like the Vapor Max of like,
yeah,
we want this, or the Roshi, you know, how it was like, this is going to be the, this next giant slayer. I think it's just one of their introductions in a performance line. And I was like, it's pretty
not a bad one. Not a bad one for sure.
It pretty as hell.
Yeah. A late year sleeper that snuck onto your list there, you know,
I would say so.
Yeah,
definitely.
Okay. Not a bad one to start your third place with, your bronzy.
Yeah, exactly. She good.
for my bronzy over here, you know, coming in solid number three. Yeah, we're calling it bronzy now. Deal with it, people. That for me is going to be the Ruckus and New Balance Numeric Voodoo Doll 440. Probably coming as not much of a surprise to anyone. He's had the poster on his wall here for a month now, and I normally rotate what's right there, but I haven't. Just they killed it. We talked about it a lot in the last episode, and I hate that I keep saying that, but I'm going to keep saying that, that I don't want to, you know, sound like a broken record here. But it, again, to me, it's the, I keep using him as like the poster child. It's the J-Tip Saucony treatment where it's like, you know, they did a good job because they did it on the 440 and it looks this good. The 440, yeah, you know, not New Balance's most desirable lifestyle silhouette. Yeah, yeah, it's not on the lifestyle side. It's on the numeric side, which is, I think, kind of like a Nike SB sort of situation there. So like, you don't really see a ton of people wearing 440s casually. If they're wearing New Balance, it's something from the 900 series or like the 2002 R or whatever. So for them to crush it on this silhouette and make it so desirable, I think says everything you need to know about it. For us being two Louisiana boys who love storytelling, this was a pretty, you know, unashamedly shills and simps for Ruckus here. This was a pretty easy, pun intended, shoe-in on our list. The only thing that I think made it not go higher on my list is that, you know, while it's a personal favorite of mine, I think it's limited nature, both in like, you know, it being a pretty small quantity release, and then Ruckus also being the only shop to release it, like the only way that it came out, kept this from making bigger waves in the sneaker space. You know, probably more people, you know, if they're not already following Ruckus, might not have got the news of this, or even if they were, 400 pairs might not have been able to even get their hands on this. So
yeah,
That's the only thing that's keeping a little bit lower on my list, is that I feel like, unfortunately, you know, shout out New Balance, let the boys make more pairs next time. Please. More pairs. We just need more pairs of these. But killer shoe, great execution, storytelling, top marks all around.
Oh yeah. No, 100%. Very comfortable. I think this one also, I think like our third places, the commonality that they have is more of like that sleeper heat.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
This isn't, this shoe isn't going to be something that I think outside of even just South Louisiana, you know, people will kind of like break their neck to. But that's what I like about it. I like that it has those details, and the ones that know, you know, and again, like we said, when, I mean, we talked about this shoe to the, you know, to the ends of the world for this, but I love the, I'm going to take what is probably the most like overbeaten aspect of Louisiana culture, but do it in a way that's like different and not overbeaten.
Yeah.
And I felt that that was like the coolest part of this, is that they were like, the whole voodoo theme within Louisiana is obviously just like so overplayed and so overdone.
Yeah.
But I thought that they did such a really cool job of doing it in such a unique and not overdone way. That's, to me, my favorite part of this, is you took what is a very cool thing about Louisiana, but did it very subtly. And I was like, perfection.
Nailed it. They nailed it on this one. Can't say enough good things about it.
Love it.
So, more curious than I am to know what is your second place, I'm curious to know, what is your term for your silver? Is it your silversy?
No, it's my Civ.
Oh, got you. Sorry. How could I have forgot that?
Yeah.
What's your Honda Civic? Tell us how you got to that spot. How'd you get to that spot?
So kind of what you had already said within this episode is, sometimes when you get a collaboration, okay, it gets to a point where it's like, okay, you're just doing kind of the same thing, but a different colorway. Or it's kind of like, you're at a point where you're like, okay, it's just, okay, this is the next thing that you're doing. And you're kind of just, I don't know, getting bored with
milking it, you might say.
Exactly. Yeah. But with my Civi, okay, that Amha Menier 5.
But when he said sun is down, freezing cold, and it's the Travis Scott, and he came, no, yeah.
It is what they're at a point right now where it literally is. I had said, I think, you know, in the episode before this one, it is just like, I'm like, man, this is great. And then you get the next one, you're like, holy cow, that one was good. And you're like, I don't like this one as much as the other ones, but gosh dang, this one's still good.
Yeah.
And then with the fives, again, seeing the dust colorway, this black colorway come out, mm-hmm. and being like, wow, this is really great. I absolutely love it. I love the little detail. Again, we were crushed over the mesh, and then they came out with the Dawn colorway.
Yeah.
And you look at both of those. And again, I think when you have a pack like that, what speaks the volume to me is literally like, I could blind bag that shoe and be like, this is
great. Happy either way.
I'm not disappointed and things like that. I'm like, I love whichever one. I think this is great. I have a big, big soft spot for the five already. So I love that this, I think they did a great job with this. It was a little bit more out of, the realm of what we're used to.
Yeah. They've
with kind Aminier five
from, you know,
the Aminier colorway.
Yeah. From the three, they did the one, the two, the 12s and the four, all very much stayed in that same colorway of like the upper's mainly going to be white. And then the accent's going to be like this Bordeaux, except, you know, I think the 12 was the first time they flipped it and there was like, no, it's going to be a lot of black. So yeah, this one, but then especially the Dawn colorway of like bringing in the blue, you know?
Yeah.
You can tell how impressed we are by the materials, right? When we go, but when they switched the bow for the blue and then they were like, but then Travis Scott switched the brow for the green.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain, but like, trust me, it's different.
Again, my comparison really what made people think was, or what made it clear for me is how we did feel with the Yeezy, the 350 V2s. Like at some point we were eventually just like, okay, it's the same thing, but just a different shape.
Yeah.
I do think at some point we may get there with Travis Scott. That's a whole different episode.
Yeah.
So honestly, when looking at the second, I looked at what Aminier has done so far, just in general as a whole, and how they're just doing a great job. The story that they're telling, the passion behind the sneakers and why they're doing it, I really love. The upscale, you know, feel and quality that they do with them is great. I have a soft spot for the five, so that made it easy. And then again, when you have a pack, the difficulty, and I know it's only two, but the difficulty comes where you're like, well, this one's great. I guess it's cool that you did another one, but this one is the
one.
My personal feeling with the two different colorways is they are both just smash hits. Mm. So that's why that made to me it be on the number two is that you made two.
You couldn't go wrong.
Bangers. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Before we move on, quick question for you, because I think if you're like me, your love for the Jordan line of sneakers, right? The silhouettes goes from like the one to the five, the one to the six, maybe. And then after there, the interest really drops off. So understandably now, Aminier having done the one to the five and then the 12, do you think that if they continue and keep doing more Jordans, your interest will drop off? Or do you think Aminier might be the collaborator that gets you super into the Jordan 8?
Well, so I do have a pair of sixes.
Yeah.
But they are definitely more, I mean, they look and feel more performant. I think like the six, the seven, and the eight, maybe six and seven for sure, look and feel more performancey. The eights, I do like the eights. Really, there's only, I don't know how many colorways there are, but I do think the way that Aminier does, I think that I would at least be like, this, I think you did great.
Okay.
Now the nines and the tens, I'm not super big on.
Yeah.
I've already talked about how I love the 11s, but
you wish you could be like 11s guy.
I wish I could. Really? It's the nines and the 10. I might be like, okay, that's going to be my testing ground. Really?
Yeah.
When the nine and 10 and then anything, honestly, post the 11.
Yeah.
Is going to be where it may get, may see. So time will tell.
We'll see.
But those are the ones that I think, but so far right now with the silhouettes they've done in Jordan Brand, it's just been, like I said, I mean, honestly, when the twos came out, I said it on, you know, I screamed from top of the mountain. There's probably six people who enjoy the twos, but Aminier came out with the two. And I think everyone was like, okay, this is actually, hold on now. This is that. And, man, which twos did you end up picking up?
I got the Aminier twos, the Union twos you're thinking of though.
Yeah.
The Union
those
twos,
are also
Also
pretty good.
I feel like the Aminier ones were divisive, right? Because the one, a silhouette that everyone loves, but the approach they took on it, like the ones and the twos are my least favorite of anything they've done.
Yeah.
I really didn't.
I think three is everybody.
Three is going to be at the top of probably everyone's list.
I mean, the threes, the fours, the fives. Ooh.
You're done. Bangers. Shut it down. Shut it down.
Bangers.
All right. We're going to keep moving here.
Dust it off and tell them, you know, throw a deuce, deuce.
My Civ, my Honda Accord.
There you go.
What
you riding on?
My Honda Accord here, and this is one I really went back and forth for a minute of kind of between two different choices. But what I ultimately landed on here was the Kith, Marvel, and Asics capsule collection. These were, if you remember, these came out later in the year. It was after our July episode because we didn't have them then. So in the second half of the year, but they did all these blind bag boxes to where when you bought the shoes, you didn't know which pair of shoes you were getting. And if I remember correctly, there were six or seven different colorways. A better researcher would have that number in front of him. But six or seven. That's close enough. Obviously inspired by, you know, Marvel and X-Men. And you got the shoes, you got a trading card that came with it, which was already graded. So if you wanted to go ahead and resell it real quick, thank you. Make it quick on us. And the box opened up like the display boxes that have the trading cards in like a retail store would have. So just like killer execution. This was one for me where the packaging and the story was so much better than I think the shoes themselves. Personally, like, I think the shoes were good, but I don't think anyone was going crazy about the shoes. Like, I don't see anyone still posting about the shoes. I think the pandemonium was really the blind bag aspect. And the story was so much more closely tied to X-Men trading cards rather than like X-Men, you know, like they were inspired by characters from X-Men, but the whole thing, the whole gimmick behind this release was like, you're not sure which pairs you could get. I think Kith set up like a Discord or an email list where you could email which pair you got and which pair you were looking for. And they would try to connect you with someone who might be a good match for you.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that was a cool aspect of the release. I think Ronnie posted about that. First name, like I know him, Ronnie Feig posted about that on his Instagram that it was either like Ronnie through their, right. Yeah. Either through their Instagram or like email, they were trying to connect people that were looking for different pairs. That's cool. And so again, I've said this a lot of times, while I thought that was such a cool concept, I am not a blind bag guy, right? Because there were too many from this release that if I got them, I would be like, I don't really think I'm going to wear those. The odds weren't as good on this one for me for what I liked. And so I didn't want to participate in it, but I still think it was a cool concept, a cool idea. And the shoes look good enough. You know, I think, you know, Kith has a long history of working on the Gel Light 3. Had they maybe done this on, you know, like one of the popular ASIC silhouettes for this year, like the Gel Kayano or like some of the other, like the Tech Runners, you might have even seen it go like another level there, even though for me, it would probably personally go lower on my list. But that's how these ended up here. The shoe that I went back and forth with for this number two spot was also from Kith. The Adidas and Clark collaboration they did earlier this year. But for me, what it came down to was like, I feel like those are more, this is where I get like nerdy and bookkeepery, but like, I feel like those are more of an important moment of like Adidas and Clark's working together. And like, you know, for the Samba having as big of a year that it had this year. And I think Kith is really the only person that like gets those two brands to handshake and do a whole new silhouette together. Like I think a whole new silhouette of two different sneaker companies working together should be more significant than like new colorways on an already existing ASICS. But I think the public reception of the ASICS, and personally, if I had to wear one, I would rather wear the ASICS. That's what kind of gave it that edge into my number two spot for me and why the Adidas and Clarks didn't make it onto my list. But I did a lot of walks with my dogs where I did a lot of self-contemplation of like, oh, which one is it going to be? I don't really have to think about it. And that's how we ultimately got here. Yeah, you're telling me.
I think very good point in the sense of the way you got the shoe and how they were packaged was way more interesting than the actual shoes.
Yeah.
Which is weird to say, considering it is like a number two, but I think that's fair because I remember when we had talked about these, that was kind of the biggest thing that I was talking about. I was like, this is a way to add, I think, a real good like breath of fresh air and some excitement and something new to sneakers. You know, in a way that like, oh, it's a blind bag. You don't know which colorway you're getting. And then also like, you know, okay, you may not get the colorway that you want, but maybe you got the super high, like highly rated card of, you know, of it, you know, things like that. So, but I do think the thing that holds this back is kind of what you said of why it held it back for you is I don't think there's as many people who enjoy blind bags.
Yeah.
Whereas like me and my wife love a blind bag.
We're going to do a quick tangent here. Anytime myself and my wife are hanging out with you and your wife and we go to a Target run, you stop us at the register and you go, everyone pick one. And it's you can't opt out and be like, man, you really, I don't want you to waste your money on me. I'm not really gonna. And you're like, everyone pick one. So I know that about
it. Oh yeah. Like it's just, they're so fun. And usually if I'm on a big run, I'm like, I'm buying this overpriced keychain blind bag for everybody because I want everyone to do it.
Yeah.
And that may go back to, you know, growing up where, you know, Pokemon cards and Yu-Gi-Oh cards and all that was a big thing. But, I think I was surprised to see this on your list just because I remember when we were talking about this, it seemed like I was more excited about this.
You definitely were.
And you were.
It's weird for me to put a shoe so high on my list that I'm like, I think that was a great shoe. I absolutely did not want to buy a pair. Right. You know, like I get that it's a bit hypocritical, but that's also where my balance of what do I think was big in this year. And when we look back, I'll be like, that was a big moment. So for me, like, you know, everyone scrambling for these pairs and like watching people unbox them, which I don't watch a lot of, you know, like, I'm going to do like, what do they do it when they, is it called like pulling packs? When people open packs of cards on the air? Yeah. I forget what the actual, but like people opening packs, like, like I watch people, unbox shoes, obviously, but like, I know what shoes they've got. I don't watch a lot of like blind breaks, I think is like another term for it there. But with this, it was fun to like watch people. There's one YouTuber, shout out, Sean Go, who runs an incredible channel, who bought three pairs of these. And all three got the same like Cyclops, not the super rare Cyclops, the like the lesser rare Cyclops.
All three were the same shoe. All
three pairs, which for me kind of gave me that like, okay, I don't feel bad that I did not participate in this release, you know. And you know, I'm sure he was a bit more of an anomaly than like I think a lot of people got that one. But to see that someone bought three pairs and could end up with three of the same, I was like, that doesn't make me feel terribly great. So yeah, I didn't want to participate because I very wholeheartedly thought I would be so excited when these came in and I opened them. And I think the dopamine would like sharply drop off of like
when they're not the pair that you wanted,
or even if they were, you know, like this pair right here is the one that I wanted the most. It's the most rare pair though. So it's like odds I'm getting it low. There were other pairs that like I would wear, but none of them were like, I want to wear them. Here's a good segue, as much as my number one. So it's like for me to spend the money and then get them and be like, well, opening it is more exciting than wearing them. Then it's like,
That's fair. Good point. I don't think that's a lot of people's thought of it, but these were great. I love this whole thing. It was, just something new, something exciting.
Exactly. To the no retros point, that's why I'm going to give some credit there. We did something new, whether or not it was for me or not. I like a new concept. Yeah.
All right.
So you got your bronzy, you got your sieve, and this is
I'm gonna call this one my goose.
Goose. I was gonna go Goldilocks, but I like goose.
Golden goose.
The golden. The meme of like the handshake. There it is.
There you go.
All right.
Call it recency bias. Call it what you want, but my boy is buying a trip to New York just so I could go into a bodega rocking some New Balance 610s. The trail less taken. Yep. Honestly, yes. Again, I think this one is so far from what I would normally end up putting.
Yeah.
With it being a New Balance, I know throughout the, you know, at least 2-3 years, we have been talking about how there is definitely these in the shadow brands, mm-hmm. which does sound like a kind of a dig at them, because they are big brands such as like New Balance and Asics and all of those things. But however, it, you know, yes, in the between the two colossal titans of Adidas mm-hmm. and Nike, you know, but New Balance, I think, has slowly and very quietly been putting together very solid, not only collabs, but just really, really great colorways. And this is one of them where I was like, I just saw it and I was like, man, the colors and the hints of the purple to mm-hmm. Contrast it. It is a very more like hiking shoe and it feels more outdoorsy, which is not me anymore.
Shout out those of us who come from very flat lands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it has everything that I feel like I wouldn't be attracted to. Mm-hmm. And I am somehow, I'm pulled to this shoe.
Yeah.
Every time I look at it, I'm just like, man, this is I just stop and I just look at it. Every time it comes across the page, I just look at it. I'm like, dang, that's a good one.
It's a good look.
I think I will. This is going to be probably the first pickup that I do end up getting within the new year. Mm. For sure. I think that once those taxes hit and I've got a little bit more breathing room, yeah. I don't think these are crazy expensive. No, I haven't looked at the resale. But I think they're very cheap.
I think that's the good thing, you didn't jump to buy these at retail. You might even get them below retail, you know?
Yeah. So I'm very excited about that. Like I said, they're just a clean looking shoe. They're a beautiful shoe. I haven't had the opportunity to see these in person, but kind of how when we were looking at our retrospective from mid year, mm-hmm. the press shots for these were just, I think, mm-hmm. fantastically done. They were great. So it was nice to look, you know, because I tried not to look at like the what I thought in July, so it didn't necessarily influence my end of the year. Okay. So to see that what I thought would be my best shoe of 2023 ended up still being my best shoe of 2023, I thought was pretty cool. Taste did not change within 6 months.
Yeah, so that's what I want to talk about. There's nothing that came out in the second half of the year that to you was so good that it dethroned this.
I just, like I said, I think it just, every time I would look at this shoe, I would just kept, it was, it almost had the same effect of the Huarache Runner that I ended up picking up.
Yeah.
I remember seeing those in pictures and was like, dang, that is great. Then I ended up that one day we saw it in Ruckus. I picked it up. I said, wow, these look great in person. And that is my everyday shoe that mm-hmm. I wear at work. And I will look down and I go, holy cow, those things look pretty on my feet. And I have the same feeling that I would have for these New Balances.
Which on the Huarache Runners, you know, you sold me on them. I would have got a pair today. I texted you. I was at the Nike store. They had a pair on the outlet wall at like $70 or something like that. But crazy half a size price. Too small for me. So just
And they are.
It work.
It would not have been fun.
Yeah, no. I didn't even bother to try them on because I'm like, no. I got to go true to size at least on these, if not up. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people would see this and be like, I mean, it's a cool looking shoe. It's a good shoe. A number one. I don't think that people, obviously, I don't think a lot of people would put this at their number one.
Yeah.
Heck, I'm sure if you looked at all the major kind of like media places, this probably isn't even in anyone's top.
Probably not.
But it's my list, baby. and like I said, it's like I got a little middle school crush on the shoe. I don't know what it is, man.
Just something about me draws. Yeah.
I'm just like, ooh. Oh man, it's so pretty.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It definitely is a good looking shoe. There's something about it, as I will agree, that like kind of draws me to it. But at the same time, there's something about it that like, I just can't quite get as enamored as you are with it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's maybe I don't know if it's maybe the gray midsole. Like it's just, it feels a little heavy on the dark side, but, you know, a little Darth Vader, but I don't know. It's like, I like it 'cause it kind of gives me like hiking shoe you would see at Academy, but also like hyped version of it. You know, like it looks like a better version of that. But I think you are better than you're, I know you're better than me though on the, like, you know, elevated dad core, you might call it, where it's like, yeah, this looks like, you know, like it's like, you know, almost like the Monarch, you know, where it's like, but the Monarch kind of became 100%. Like its own meme of a thing.
Yeah.
But it kind of looks like you would get the thing off the shelf at Dick's and I'd be like, wow, that looks like something you would find just like sitting on the shelf at Dick's. And you'd be like, yeah, it was until Undefeated collaborated with it. And I'd be like, damn, that's kind of fun. You know, it's like, it's just something about it that gives it that little edge. Yeah.
I do think if it didn't have, I agree with you. I think if it didn't have, it's less of the midsole and just how much black paneling
just a is little on there dark.
Specifically towards the heel.
Yeah.
I think if they had broken that up with some color, a maybe added like more of that. Exactly.
Yeah.
Just some of that stitching in there or even just a line like a, to like they stack it to break it up. I do think that would have, that definitely would amp it up. I think you saying that, yes, it does seem like there are some aspects of this shoe that seem to get lost because of how much dark coloring there are in it that I can see. And that I would be like, yep, I hear your point. Mm-hmm. But you saying this looks like something you would see at Academy, but with a little like sprinkling of hype is the most accurate thing. And as you're the saying best compliment.
He's pulling up StockX.
I've now gone from crush status to stan status.
He's like, Ryan, what's better than first? Like, how can I put this in a higher spot? Yeah. That's funny.
So yeah, So like I said, I've been hype on it since then. Every single chance I get to talk about this shoe, I go so long with it on it because of just how enamored I am with it. Yeah. It's so pretty.
It's a good one. It's a good one for sure. I think, like you said, a sleeper.
For sure. For sure. So that's my golden goose sitting on the pond elegantly there. All right, Ryan, couple bowls of porridge in. Which bed are you picking?
Yeah. Okay. Got you. Okay. Got you. Because the baby bears.
Because
of the bears.
Because the whole story.
Because of, remind me, how does that one go? They huff and they puff and they blew the house down.
There's a house.
Yeah, there is a house. Man, this was such a tough struggle for me. And again, not because it felt like there were so many options that I was vying for putting in first place, but more so that like I felt that this year was a year of so many good sneakers. But in terms of just like, if I had to pick one that just like really I felt like for me, like dominated the year and I felt like crushed it, I just felt like there were so many different ones that excelled in their own kind of way in different areas, whether it's, you know, like storytelling or packaging or just all around like looks good. But one that hit all the marks just felt kind of tough for me this year. I don't know why, but what I landed on, and I'm going to stand by it and I'm going to have to defend myself a little bit here. My sneaker of the year for 2023 is going to be the Nike Air Max 186 Big Bubble.
Ooh.
But Ryan, you say, but retros, you say. Here's why it's different. Here's my mental gymnastics. Ready? Here's my mental.
Stop the upset.
And this is honestly, I will stand behind it. I think the whole crux of this shoe, right? The big bubble, the bit of Nike history about like, this was supposed to be the original release, but it never happened because they were so afraid that people were going to see it and be like horrified by it, that they were like, we got to do a smaller bubble. I think to me, it's a, call it a retro if you want, right? But it's a retro of a shoe that never really came out. It's not the Air Max 1 anniversary, right? Which we have seen before, which I probably wouldn't be talking about. But for me, it's the, it is a, if you want to call it a retro or not, it's the fact that they told the story of the big bubble. And as someone that, you know, obviously nerds out about the history of sneakers and about storytelling, to see them kind of go back and address it and be like, you know, it's like almost you would kind of think of it along the same lines of like the band Jordan 1, where they put the X on the back of it, where it's like, it's kind of a retro, but they told a story with it rather than like, it's a retro. And the story is that like, it looks like if it was from that time and it looks old. So
to me,
go ahead.
That is what, I think that is what does separate it.
Yeah.
You know, to kind of go with that of, okay, well then what about the reimagines? And it's like, well, yeah, the Jordan 1 reimagined is just like, well, what if that you found this shoe that one was like had got released that was old.
Yeah.
And the same thing with like the Jordan 3. It's more of just like we just kind of aged something that happened. And yes, I know probably a lot of people was like, okay, well, all they did was take the Air Max 1 and then just make the bubble bigger.
Yeah.
However, I agree kind of with you. It was the story of why the bubble.
The story and so, of what actually happened, not like Lost and Found where it's like the what if story of like what if had happened. Yeah.
So would you say with this shoe, it's more story of the big bubble or the look of a big bubble?
For me, it's definitely more story. Like the shape of these is definitely different than the shape of like original Air Maxes, but I kind of like it. It's kind of elongated on the toe there, and the back is a little bit flatter rather than like kind of that donk they that Air Max ones have. But also Air Max ones are like, now I have a pair of these and I look at it next to them, like very curved on the front as well, like very rounded looking. So yeah, for me, it's definitely more of the story. It's definitely just like, I got so excited for these earlier in the year. Cause I was like, I'm like sitting at home, right? I watch it. You're like, that's what it was supposed to be. It was going to be the biggest bubble. So I don't know. It was, like I said, it's at the top of my list, but I'm not here to like throw hands with anyone that disagrees again, just because I'm like, it's so high up here for me because of that story, but also just as much, if not more, like I really like wearing my pair and I really just think it's a good looking shoe, obviously. So
it is a good looking shoe.
I know. So I feel bad and hypocritical being like, no retros. And it's like, this is pretty arguably a retro. But I think it's a new, I hate to even say new take, because you'd be like, the reimagines are a new take, but it's like, you know, it's a different shoe in a way, you know, it's got a different whole sole on it there and a different shape on the upper.
I would say this is the most on the line or like gray area of a shoe being like, I think it, like hearing your argument, someone could be either swayed. I think you could sway either way of like, yep, no, this is something new. And then be like, well, all they did was just show you more bubble.
Right.
And then you go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They didn't really change anything, but show you more bubble. But then also like combating of like, okay, but this was the original plan.
Right.
This was like that original, what they wanted. And it wasn't like a sample that they just made changes for quality. It's like the whole fear, you know, a big bubble and would people, you know, whatever it may be. So I remember seeing this, you know, right at the, right before we did it. Cause I, like you said, we had our list and I saw your number one wasn't there yet.
Yeah.
I also didn't see big bubble. And I was like, interesting. I didn't see big bubble on your list at all.
This was I think yesterday I just finalized this thing. Cause I, when I tell you, I've been wrestling with this for a week now, just trying to be like, what is like the one? And you know, I don't know. It's tough. Like all three on my list, like the Ruckus New Balance. I'm like, personally love that one, but also like, I'm not gonna, I just don't think it was huge in the sneaker space. So it's like, for me, it's really high up on my list, but I can also see it is my list, but I can also see my own rose colored glasses of like, you know, it's Ruckus and it's a Louisiana collaboration.
Yeah.
I know it's my list and I don't have to apologize to anyone for making my list, but I'm still a people pleaser. So I'm like, my list has to be somewhat agreeable with everyone else.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that's the same, like the same thing for, the Lunar Roams, you know, is, I think people would look at that and be like, I don't even remember that shoe coming out. I'd be like, but to me, I was like, I looked into that shoe a lot.
Yeah.
I almost actually put this shoe as my runner up. Honorable mention. Almost to the caveat of why you have it as your number one is
because it's on the line of retro.
Yeah. I do see it. I'm like, I know there's something different with this shoe and I can appreciate the story of, we feel we're at a point now where, you know, we can finally show what we wanted it to originally be.
Yeah.
But not knowing, does that make it enough to be
not a retro
a retro, not a reimagine. I know it's not a reimagine.
Yeah.
Technically, I guess you could say the Air Max that we know and love today is a reimagine of this.
Hot take.
Look so out. Really, I could just be like, well, this is nothing different than what we have. And it's like,
this is imagined. Everything you've known up until now is reimagined.
Yeah, exactly. So if anything, that might be the biggest case as to why it's not is that, well, this just seems that way because actually what we have now was the reimagined version.
Because you've been lied to through revisionist history. Because Boring
Whip.
Yeah. So there you have it. Our 2023 sneakers of the year. Do you want to give them your quick recap from honorable mention to first place?
Absolutely. Honorable mention, Pandas. Again, spiteful put. It's a pretty good shoe.
He was
shoe.
About, just so everyone, again, to remind everyone, he was about to make an informed take on the Air Max 1 Big Bubble, but instead he went, spite would be funny for an episode, so he spited, which I'm not mad at it. I'm happy you did it.
Third place. The Lunar Rome with that alabaster colorway, one banger of a colorway. And again, it's just a personal favorite for me. You're luckily I didn't put Nicole McLaughlin on this list, but I'm still going to say her name because I stand that lady.
I'm just going to name drop Nicole McLaughlin every episode.
Second place, I have the Amon Meunier Jordan 5. I would say specifically that dust colorway because I do think it is my favorite of the two. Mm-hmm. And then my first place, the Bodega New Balance 610, the trail less taken.
Yeah. My list, honorable mention, the Mischief Big Red Boot. Again, not a sneaker, not a shoe I like, not a shoe I want to wear, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend that it was not a huge moment this year, if not the biggest.
But you're going to remember it.
Third place, the Ruckus and New Balance Numeric Voodoo Doll 440. Shameless shilling for local company. Sure. Also great storytelling. You betcha. Sure. Louisiana. Check. Love it. Second place, the Kith, Asics, and Marvel capsule collection. Blind box. Fun concept. Love a new release idea, especially after this many years.
Yes, sir. And
first place, debatably, the Nike Air Max 186 Big Bubble. Is it a retro? Is it not a retro? There's an idea. Leave a comment down below. Let us know. Does it count? Does it not count for you? As for me, who knows? It's on my list as of now. Ask me in a week. Maybe it'll change. But
there you go.
I think looking at the final mix here, and this is like really the first time I'm kind of like cognitively processing it. Very surprised to only see one Nike on my list.
Yeah.
As we said at the top of the episode, such big Nike boys. And there's so, you know, there were like, I think to your point, like the Amon Meunier 5 Dawn, love that shoe. The Nike SB Jordan 4. Great shoe. Like that shoe.
Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah. It's good. Oh, yeah.
Not the top of my list. The J Balvin Jordan 3 that he did this year. Another clean shoe. Just not my favorite thing. So, like, there was a lot of good stuff that came out this year. I think all in all, that's what makes it so tough. That's what made my list so tough to put together was that it felt like in years past, any one of those shoes I just named, had it been the only one of those to come out, would like be hands down the only thing we'd be talking about right now. But when you stack them all within the same year, it's just kind of like, man, it's just hard to pick amongst everyone being a great shoe, you know?
No, I agree. I think honestly, when I was looking at the shoes, I was between Nike and New Balance a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, I would see, with the Action Bronson New Balance, not the first colorway.
Killer. Killer as well. But, Lapis Lazuli, I mean, 990 V6, you're saying?
Yeah. Well, that blue. A lot of killer. Blue.
Yeah.
A lot of blue.
Yeah.
But I really came down to that, but I mean, yeah, I think a real great list. I think we have shoes in there. I think we both have maybe some hot take esque
for sure.
I think we have some just personal, I like this one that I think people should be talking about that maybe aren't talking about. So I think a good list overall. I think we hit a lot of greatness.
Absolutely. So thank you everyone. It's always heavy heart. At this time of the episode, at this time of the year, thank you everyone for tuning into another episode of Shoe Podcast. This is the official last episode of season 5. This was first episode of 2024, but last episode of season 5 just due to timing. Thank you everyone for tuning into a whole nother season here. We are going to be taking the rest of January off to plan for season 6. And also because not too many sneaker releases typically happen in January. Can't wait. Someone clip this for the first week of February when we come back and we're like, that crazy thing that right? Just because we said it now, can something's going to happen.
Yeah. Which, well, technically,
you got Kanye releasing $200 socks. Yeah. You got Stanley Cups reselling on StockX. We could do a whole State of the Shoe right now.
I was about to say, and then, I mean, Travis Scott gave a fan a completely unreleased pair of shoes. So we're already...
Here's the thing.
We're six days into January.
I so badly want to sit down and plan for season six, and I so badly want to take a break from doing this for a bit. But at the same time, I'm like, there's a lot of like interesting things happening right now that we should sit down and talk about. So, but no, we are going to let ourselves rest. We're going to just be friends and play video games together for a month or something like that and plan for the next season. And we'll be back in February. If there's anything you really want to see from us next season, let us know. My headphones sound weird with this over with the hoodie over it. So do me a favor. I'm going to roll the socials. Go ahead and shout these out for us real quick, if you could.
Go ahead. Get on the internet, shoepodcast.com. All the links are there. Okay. I'm going to say this right now. If you've got a social media link, type in Shoe Podcast.
Yep.
We're there. And if you type in Shoe Podcast and we're not there, then we're not there.
It's
usually that easy.
Yeah. We lucked out that we were able to get that name on really all the platforms we want to be on. So,
yeah. Okay. And then also, okay, park your Honda Civic. Okay. Go to your work or house. Go to YouTube. Watch the videos. We're funnier when you can see us.
Quick check real quick. And this is going to date us. One moment. Let's get it pulled up. If you could, if you're watching this and you're not, because statistically I know a lot of y'all are and you're not, if you are not subscribed as of right now, 389 subscribers, 11 subs, wow. Guys, come on, get us to the big four. We're trying to get to 400 here. If you're not, hit that subscribe button. We greatly appreciate it. I know we said a lot. Is there anything else you want to say for the people before we go?
Oh, man, it's just crazy that we've been doing this for 5 seasons. Yep. It's great. I absolutely love it. It's been the coolest thing, to make connections with so many different people. Mm-hmm. The interviews have been amazing. And then just a cool thing to just be kind of like, you know, hanging out with each other, going around town and people are like, hey, you're the Shoe Podcast guys, or you're those podcast guys. And I was like, holy cow, that's insane.
Yeah.
So really cool. Love whenever that happens. Love to be able to, talk to people, love to be able to, especially really just gift to a lot of those people who, you know, we think, especially like all of our like Ruckus Boys, all the people that we interview, being able to just be like, hey, here's this thing. And just the true appreciation that I see mm-hmm. with people who get hooked up with like big brands who get this, you know, passion project of ours and we can give that to them, and to see their excitement and just love of it is like, oh, cool. I'm interviewing someone who really does love sneakers. So that's been like my favorite thing mm-hmm. is just to talk to so many people who just truly love the sneaker culture.
Yep.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. So it's insane that we've done this for 5 seasons. I can't wait to see, you know, what the big six is going to do.
6 rings right here, right now. You know it, people. All right.
What about you? What are you leaving people off with? And then what are you going to then? Cause you know, we're in a weird, you know, end of five, start of 2024.
Yeah.
So what are you leaving people with, but then also giving them,
leaving them with just like in words or like,
I don't know.
As always, just thank you everyone who's been watching this. We often say, and I try not to fall into the trap that, like, you know, we don't measure the success and the value and the quality of what we're doing by like the views or the likes or the subscribers. I know, right, exactly. To that point, we would stop. I just begged you for 11 subscribers. Find me anyone else who's doing like the level of quality production we're doing. There's like, if we could get 11 subscribers, you know, right? Like, but it's not lost on me that, like, you know, for a lot of people, right, that like we're doing this as much as we're doing this, you'd post a video and you'd get like, call it 50 views, whatever, and you'd be like, 50, that's it. You know, like everyone else is getting like mm-hmm. thousands, millions, whatever. But like, for me, it's not lost that, like, I don't personally know 50 people that listen to our podcast, right? So that means, like, there are people that I don't know and presumably you don't know that are watching this And that crazy. Will never like that's just weird. Stop to see so amaze me. Right. Exactly. That it's like, oh, people I don't know are just like watching this and presumably enjoying it. So yeah. Thank you, everyone.
Even if it was 10, I'd be like, yeah. I could name right. maybe two people.
Who right. are watching exactly. It. Yeah. And so. Both of us are sitting on this call right now and it's us. So yeah. Yeah. So yeah,
I got that bell rung.
It's like I said, it's not lost on me. Thank you everyone so much for your support. It's
yeah.
super cool. Anytime we bump into someone who happens to recognize us from doing this, that's never not weird to me, but like the most flattering sort of weird. So yeah, five great seasons, season six coming around. I have plenty of ideas. I'm sure you have ideas as well. So we're going to sit and talk about them and see what we can do for next year. Even bigger and better. More this, more that. Lots more to come. That's all I'll say right now. I'm going to give you big local band energy and say big things coming soon. How do you like that?
Yeah, there you go. Check the MySpace.
That's right. That's where we're most active. All right. One last time for season five. Thank you, everyone, so much for watching another episode of Shoe Podcast. I'm your co-host, Ryan Landry.
I'm your co-host, Tanner Young.
We will not be back next week with another one. We'll be back sometime in February. Everyone stay well. We'll see you in like a month. Okay, bye.